Amen. If you win your Bibles tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin reading verse 1. Again, continuing our series on growth and Christian growth. And preached on this subject at least 5 times in the last 10 or 15 years. Tonight we'll talk about motives. And motives do matter. Why we serve and in the Christian life. We think about, again, we've covered the subject of the new birth and being born again. And what a great day that was. And the birthmarks of being a Christian, there ought to be, again, evidence of that salvation. We talked last week tonight about adoption and being adopted in the family of God and how that because we're adopted as sons and daughters, that we have all the tools and all the privileges of adult sons and daughters. We think about tonight and the growth and the motives for that growth. And we think about introducing, that birth introduces us to life. We think about salvation. We were introduced to spiritual life. And therefore, we're invited to grow. I mean, we think about birth is not the new birth is not the end of the Christian experience. It's the beginning. Growth is the natural expression of life because where there is life, there is growth. Where there is no life, there is death. Right? That's why we say from time to time, or you hear other preachers come in and say that if a church isn't growing, it's dying. You just can't, there's not an in-between state. And so we think about that in our own Christian life. You're either going forward or backwards. And so at the new birth, we experience the new birth, and then we are invited to grow and to grow in the Lord. Why should a Christian want to grow? Why should a Christian want to grow? What's going to motivate us to grow? Okay, sure, the Bible says we should grow. We're born again. We're babes in Christ, and we're supposed to grow in the Lord and all these things. But what motivates us to do that? Just because the preacher raises his voice and screams and hollers a little bit? Or what? Why? Why do we grow? Why should we grow? I'll give you 5 or 6 things tonight as we think about that after we read. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. I know none of y'all remember the message I preached on that verse. It's been a few years back. But absolutely, if you want to grow in your Christian life, you've got to lay aside these things. Let me say it again. If you are going to grow as a Christian, you need to lay aside malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and He is gracious. And I think most of us here tonight have tasted the Lord. By that we mean we've experienced the growth process to a state that we want that. Sometimes we don't know how to a certain extent, or we've allowed sin or other things, malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings to stunt our growth. But tonight we'll give a few things and motives of why we should grow. Let's pray. We do thank you tonight for the opportunity to meet together as a church family to gather around the Word of God. We do pray tonight that each of us would be encouraged to grow in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I was sitting there thinking about the greatest example I have seen of someone who has grown in the Lord. I'll go back to my dad. The greatest illustration I got. My dad was raised in a Christian home, but when he got married, he did not stay in church, was raised Southern Baptist, and was out of church, him and my mom, for about 7 or 8 years. When he finally got back into church, my dad was a weekend drunk, and they were weekend partiers and going to clubs, and, well, I'm sorry, honky-tonks. Out in the country, you go to honky-tonk. In the city, you go to a club, right? All right. Maybe y'all don't know. I don't know either. Never been to one. So, you know, the marriage was on the rocks, and a little lady began to come by and knock on the door and ask if my older brother could go to church on the bus. And y'all, some of y'all have heard this story. And mom and dad let my older brother, whose name is Danny, ride the bus there with Mildred Corneason was her name. Faithful, faithful lady running her bus route. And so for several months, my brother rode the bus. And Mildred Corneason would call every Sunday morning prior to picking up all the kids and make sure that they were going to be there. Is Danny coming to church this morning? And you've heard the story, some of you, that you know, one morning she called and my dad said, no, we're all coming to church this morning. And Dad and Mom went to church that morning and never turned back. A few months after they got into church, I was 2 years old when they got into church. And a few months after they got into church, the pastor came to my dad and said, I'd like for you and your wife to help in the youth department. Well, of course, my dad, being the man he is, said, sure. And he said, but I got a little problem. He said, I chew tobacco. The pastor said, well, you'll have to quit that. And my dad said, all right, I will. And he did. I can remember as a little kid, the little spittoon, you know, in the house, the brass spittoon. My papa also chewed tobacco. And it was a family tradition. My great-grandpa chewed tobacco. They were all farmers. I mean, they sat around and chewed tobacco. My great-grandpa chewed those little cigarettes you make yourself, you know. But he wasn't like guys do today where they smoke them all day long. He smoked a couple every evening on the back porch of the farmhouse. So, you know, tobacco was just a part of life. And my dad quit. And he promised God he would quit. He quit and said, I'll give all the money that I normally buy tobacco with the missions. And that's what he did. But as time went on, he got involved in the youth department, went to camp for the first time. And guess what happened at camp? He got saved. Helping in the youth department, he got saved. And so did my mom. And actually, my mom got saved prior to this. But and then just to see, not to see, but to hear about my dad's growth and how his growth happened in the Lord and various things happening from quitting the bad habits to, you know, he was a cussing, you know, oil field worker. I mean, that's where he still works in oil field, by the way. And, just around that crowd, you know, cussed all the time. And, man, God took that away from him and gave him victory over his words and over his temper. And amazing how God worked in his life. And I've told you about, I was probably 9 or 10, and we used to go to what they call in Bowie, Texas, they call it Summer Rec. And that is the city opened up the pool for free all summer to kids from like 8 in the morning till 10. And we used to go down to that. And one day Dad said, no more mixed swimming. And we just kind of went through it. No more, you know, girls and boys swimming together with their underwear on. That's what they wear. Say, bathing suits are underwear. Everybody with me? Okay, I feel better about the whole thing. So my dad says, no longer my son going to swim around with, girls of the audience. Anyway, and so just can steadily see God bring about some conviction in his life. Again, I'm going to use that term rather than beat you over the head with his convictions. His convictions, and see him bring about those things in my dad's life and him continue to grow. And one time my dad was a deacon and children's church worker and became the head of the children's department, children's director, and then bus director. And I remember knocking doors with my dad. My dad wasn't a fisherman like I do with my boys. My dad didn't have a hobby. My dad was working church. But when he was working church at church, we were with him. He didn't leave us at the house. So thankful for him. And just see the growth in his life and the natural progression in his life and the growth of his life till he finally surrendered ministry and pastored a couple of churches. Just to see the growth in his life. And I've seen that in others' lives. Somebody who's come from the, you know, worldly things. I mean, drinking and smoking and chewing and cussing and all the things that, because I was raised in a Christian home, maybe I didn't have to deal with. But to see the growth in individuals' lives. Growth is the normal expression of life. Kim and Jason just had a baby. Normal expression of that baby's life is going to grow. It's going to grow. And growth is just going to happen. 2 Peter 1:4 says, we are partakers of the divine nature of God. We've been born again. And since we are partakers of that divine nature, look over there. We're already there anyway. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels, look at 2 Peter chapter 1, not chapter 2, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, and on and on and on. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since we are partakers of the divine nature, we will grow, and we'll see the evidences of that growth through virtue and faith and patience and godliness and kindness. These will be fruit that will abound in our life. There are many other stories we could turn to. One of those would be Matthew chapter 13. It talks about the parable of the sower. Man was sowing the seed, some fell on good ground, some fell on bad ground. Some fell on hard ground, some fell among the thorny soil, but some fell on good ground. And the Bible says those that fell on good ground, that plant grew and was fruitful. And we see that today over and over and over again. That the gospel is preached, some falls on hard ground, some falls in the thorny, the world, it gets entangled in the world, but some falls on good ground. Right? How long are we to preach? Till Christ comes back. How long are we to give the gospel? I'm drawing from Isaiah. Isaiah, how long? Isaiah said to God. How long? He said to Isaiah, many won't listen, but some will. We just got to keep telling. Some's going to fall on good ground. A person who is truly born again proves it by being fruitful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In John chapter 15, and we won't again take time to go over there, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit, right? One of the evidences, or the evidence of us being born again, is that we will bear fruit. What is this fruit? We talked about that before. Recently it's come up. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. What fruit? What fruit? Well, we've just read some there in Peter. Kindness and brotherly love. And these are all fruits that we will show as born again believers. We think about the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians. But the fruit is absolutely the character and integrity that we gain when we accept Christ as our Savior. The new birth, being born again, becoming new creatures in Christ, becoming partakers of the divine nature of God. That we inherit that new nature, and therefore we have a new want to. We don't want to do the things that are bad. We want to do the things that are good. And we may not always do that, but we want to do what's good. We want to live right. We want to please our Heavenly Father. If we've truly been born again, we will bear fruit. Fruit. Simply hearing God's Word is no evidence of salvation. It's when we receive the Word, cultivate it, and produce fruit that we prove that we've been born again. What motivates us to grow? Well, one is just naturally we're going to grow. A baby just naturally grows. Number two, what's our motivation for growing as a Christian? It brings joy to the Father. I don't know about you, but I enjoy seeing my sons grow. Joshua is just taken off here lately. The boy is just humongous, comparatively speaking. He now weighs the same as his brother that's 3 years older than him. And it's just amazing. Micah hasn't grown an inch in like 10 years. And he's only 9. But he's a hoot. But I enjoy seeing my sons grow. Taylor's grown 4 inches in the last 6 months, something like that. You're around them all the time. You don't notice it. But it's just amazing when we mark the little... Everybody's got a place in their house, right? Yeah, it's a special place. We got the back door of the laundry room. In fact, we put a little ruler on it, measuring tape. And so we just on up through there. We marked down height and weight. I didn't do that when I was a kid. We didn't put no weight down. We didn't height and weight because the boys are concerned about how much they weigh. They want to weigh more. I want to weigh less. So, but it's a pleasure. It's wonderful to see them grow. And just as I have fond memories and hearing about my dad's spiritual growth, let me tell you, we want to please our Father. And therefore, we ought to want to grow. Our Heavenly Father delights in our growth and as we become more like His Son. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more." God is not passive in His relationship with us and towards us. He wants us. He actively and lovingly desires that we be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. He rejoices in our victories. Again, we've got to realize that God is actively involved in our lives. He says He's not very far from any of us. He absolutely rejoices when we have victory in our lives. He feels every burden we bear. He watches every step that we take. Amen. Don't you do that with your children? Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father delights in us. I love this verse. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Listen to this now. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He," that is God, "delighteth in His way." God delights in you. Boy. Just think about that for a moment. God delights in you. I delight in my children. And if you're the right kind of parent, you delight in them whether they do good or bad. I delight in my kids. God delights in you. The God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars, the God who made the universe, delights in you, delights in me. What a thought. What a truth. Not just a thought, that's a truth. From the God's Word. Our motivation for growing is, again, it's natural. We ought to want to please the Father, please our Heavenly Father. And the motivation for growth is to fulfill God's purpose in saving us. To fulfill God's purpose in saving us. You realize that God created us for a purpose. God created us unto good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're not saved by our works, but we're saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before ordained that we should walk in them. And God is working on us, fulfilling His purpose in us. God must work in us before He can work through us. He must prepare us for what He has prepared for us. Absolutely. I absolutely can look back at my life and say, these things have happened to season me. These things in my life have happened to enable me to be in the spot that I am now. These things have happened to me that I might be able to minister to others in this area or that area. Absolutely, God has a purpose for everything that has taken place in my life. He has a purpose for our lives. Aren't you glad of that? Most people, most of the world today wandering around with no purpose in life. Aimlessly wandering around, getting up in the morning, going to work, driving back home in that traffic, and watching the ball game, going to sleep, and just that monotonous daily grind with no purpose. And let me tell you, God has a purpose for you. And God has a purpose for me. And again, the first thing is we are conformed to His image of His Son. The purpose God has for us from the very beginning is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that we were created for His good pleasure, we were created for fellowship with Him, and He desires that. And as we conform to His Son, then that fellowship grows sweeter and sweeter. He works in us as we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maturing Christians always have a place of service prepared. In other words, He's always has a place for us to be involved and to work for Him. And we'll move on. Fourth, motivation for growth is so the grace of God will not be wasted in our lives. Well, this is a tough one. I preached this point before. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you, beg you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We beg you, Paul says, that you have not received the grace of God in vain. Listen, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us, gave His life for us. Christ paid the price and made grace available to us. To live our life to self-pleasure is receiving His grace in vain. To live our life in self-will for our own purpose is to live our life in vain, to make grace in vain. It's putting a cheap price tag on the cross. That's a tough one. Let me underline that one in my notes. And that wasn't a quote by me. That's a quote by Warren Wiersbe. Puts a cheap price tag on the cross. Puts a cheap price tag on the cross. Why are we motivated? What motivates us to growth in the Christian life? Because we are reminded that Christ died our death. He took God's wrath for us that we might live effectively for His glory. It's been several years ago, but I read the biography of C.T. Studd, who was a missionary to Africa for over 50 years. And when he was in his 52nd year as a missionary and was up in his, must have been his early 70s, he came back to the States because of some health problems, and it wasn't like now where they flew. I mean, he was on a boat and long journey back, and the doctor said to C.T. Studd, he said, if you go back to Africa, you'll die there. Your health is spent. Your body is done. He said, if you go back, you'll die. And I have a quote here from C.T. Studd after a newspaper reporter asked him why he would leave his wife, his family, and country and go back to Africa when the doctor said he would probably die. This is C.T. Studd's quote. He says, "What? Have you been talking of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him." God's grace was not wasted on C.T. Studd. He's willing to be spent for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life and died on the field there in Africa. What motivates us to growth? Lastly, a desire to be obedient to the commands of God. A desire to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. And I hope that you won't completely get tired of the illustration, because it's going to be said throughout the next 8 or 9 weeks we have left in the series. But this absolutely is the way in which God relates growth to us, one of the ways in which He does in the Bible. As we think about ways in which He relates to us, how we grow. John chapter 15, He talks about the vine and the branch. We talk about the various races, like Paul uses the various illustrations of us growing in our Christian life. One of the illustrations he uses is a race. I press toward the mark. Everybody with me? So God uses these various. But probably the greatest one is the thought of being born again, and born as a babe. And this is where you've got to understand your state and your standing. Your state and your standing. Your standing before God is perfect. And we are adopted sons and daughters, right? So everybody understand, we have two separate levels here. I'm an adult son, I'm an adult daughter, and therefore I have all the privileges of an adult son or adult daughter. But my state is different. My state is I'm still a sinner saved by grace. Hello? I'm not perfect. I have in no way should I look down on others around me, because I'm no better than they are. I'm reminded the last couple of weeks as I've been counseling individuals that you can come in and say, this person has done this and this person has done that, and you can be pious about it, but let me tell you, setting yourself up for a fall yourself. Well, be careful about that. We all need to be careful about that. Look down on somebody else who's made a mistake and say, well, I would never make that mistake. Watch out. Watch out. Boy, we're all susceptible to the world and to this old flesh and to the devil. We need to be reminded of that. But one of the greatest illustrations for us and that God helps us to relate to the Christian life is being born again. We are born as babes. And as we're born in babes, just as we watch our own children grow, so God is watching us grow. We're again born a babe in Christ, and we go to 1 year old and 2 year old and 3 year old and 4 year old and 5 year old and 6 years old, and we should be making that progress in our Christian life. We should be growing in our Christian life. Again, as we think about growth, we think about little children. For the most part, little children want to seek the approval of their parents. Okay? We our last child, Micah, who's not in here, we'll talk about him all the time. But he absolutely was a strong-willed child. Anybody who knows him would agree to that. All right? But even during all those times, we were disciplining him properly and trying to do what's right by him. And man, it was something. And I remember all those times counseling families with strong-willed children, saying, "Just be consistent. Keep at it. Well, preacher, the spankings aren't working. I said, just be consistent. Don't whip in anger. Whip in love. Explain what they've done wrong. Make sure you're taking your time with them. Are you spending time with them? Spankings don't work if you're not spending time with them. Do all those things properly. And man, we went through that with Micah. But even through all those things, when Micah was stubborn and all these things and still is somewhat, Micah still wanted to please me. Absolutely. Absolutely. When it came right down to it, he sought the approval of his dad. He wanted me to clap my hands. It's just like in sports. That's why I have a huge issue with parents who holler and scream at their kids, and I try my very best not to. When your kids are playing sports, man, whether they're doing good or bad, what does it matter? As long as they're doing their best. I can't stand coaches saying it. Well, anyway, we may be experiencing that right now in our own life. But the kids seek their approval. They want that. A lot of drunks out there today, and a lot of druggies out there today. And I'm putting it back to some on the parent. Seeking mom and dad's approval and never got it. Mom and dad didn't want to give them the time of day. What's our motivation for growing? One of the biggest motivations for growing is just, again, pleasing our Heavenly Father. But it's obeying Him. It's obeying Him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? He's commanded us to read the Bible and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are commanded to grow. So if we are commanded and encouraged to grow, the Bible tells us that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after these things. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Hello? Are these not commands from God? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God. That word follower means imitators. That we be imitators of God as dear children. We are commanded from God's own Word that we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are commanded by our Heavenly Father to grow as children of God. To follow after righteousness. To follow after righteousness. To set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Too many Christians have got their eyes on the world. The things the world has to offer. They got their minds on job and all the other things. And many of those, again, are necessities. But the number one thing in our life is the Lord. Our priorities ought to be straight. God first. God first. One of the growth in my dad's life as he got saved and began to see God work in his life was every year at Easter, when Easter came around, where do you think the Crawford family was at? Yeah, we were at church, but we always went to the farm. It was tradition. I mean, the Easter egg hunt happened at the farm on Easter weekend. And we'd go up there and spend Easter weekend with my grandparents and attend their little Southern Baptist church out in the country, which was a good Southern Baptist church. And I learned a lot there. I appreciate that little country church. But that was a tradition. One day, one Easter, I just remember we stopped doing it. Dad said, you know, we're not going to Papa and Grandma's anymore for Easter. We're going to stay at our own church. I'm not saying it's wrong to, every once in a while to do those things, but it was every Easter, you know, and every Christmas, and every, you know, there was five or six Sundays we missed every year to go to my Papa, actually more than that, probably eight or nine. And Dad said, that's done. We're done. And that's when he set the rules, said we're going to be gone a couple of Sundays a year for vacation, and that's it. Otherwise, we're going to be back here for church on Sunday morning. And as far as I know, my dad still does that. Just seeing that growth, being obedient to the commands of God, following after righteousness. Don't be satisfied with life as usual. Right? We have plenty of motivation to grow. And let's be about the Father's business. Let's grow in the Lord. Some of the subjects we have after this topic tonight will even be more forceful as we think about the various aspects of growth and how we grow. And let's pray about this on Wednesday nights, not just make this another series and it's okay, you know, preacher preached again on this or preacher preached again on that. Let's think about it for a moment. How are you growing in the Lord? On a scale of 1 to 10, you've been saved 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, 11, 12, 20 years. Where are you at in your Christian walk? Are you 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5? Are you 12? Are you 15? Are you 35? I mean, where are you at when you think about growth and spiritual growth in your life? Let's all stand. Hymn 160.